Back here fist pumping, man. Back here fist pumping 2019, man. What is good? What is good, man? 2019. I can't believe it, man. Wow. 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 2019, man. Hope you all had a great New Year's. I hope you all had a great Christmas. I hope you all had a great time. I know I've been away for a couple weeks. I did that on purpose, man. I just needed a mental break. I needed to charge up for this year, man. I got a lot of things that I'm gonna accomplish, but wow, man. It's good to be back. It's good to be sitting here in front of this mic, in front of this screen here, doing what I do best. I enjoy it. It's 2019, man. Ain't no looking back. This year's got to be better, man. This year's got to be better for all of us. I hope you guys didn't forget the last podcast. I know it's been a couple weeks, about a week or so, a little over a week or so, but I hope you guys didn't forget. But man, it's New Year's. It's 2019. It's just, you know, you have that awkward thing where when you start filling out applications or you start filling out your, you know, dates or whatever, you're going to be putting 2018 for a bit. I usually do that for about a month before I fully convert over. I have to fully remember that it is 2019. Wow, man, my niece is going to be 19. My nephew's going to be, I believe, 9 and 8. It went by quick, man. It went by quick, but here we are, man, with 365 days left in the year. My apologies. But let's do it, man. You know, what's your resolution? What's your pledge? I know a lot of people have positive and negative things to say about it. I'm going to try to keep it positive. Some people say, you know, this and that. You know, for me, if you have a resolution, if you have a pledge, it's good for you. You know what I mean? The problem is we get put down way too much. You know what I mean? A lot of people get put down trying to start something. You start a resolution. People go, man, you're not going to follow through with that, man. Quit it. The year hadn't even started and you already get negativity. So then you don't even follow with it. You know what I mean? So if you have a resolution, you have a plan, even if you don't follow through with it, this is a good first step for you. This is your first step to start planning something for yourself, envisioning something for yourself. So I like the idea of having a resolution. I like the idea of having a pledge. You know what I mean? That what you want to do for the year. Now, always saying what you want to do is bad for two reasons. One, you don't want everybody knowing your business. Having everybody know your moves is a failure because people secretly plotting on your downfall, right? And number two is bad because a lot of times we self-gratify ourselves. We say, man, I'm going to do this. And even though you haven't done it, you've told yourself enough times that I want to do this. So that's enough gratification for you. A lot of people just get gratification just by saying, I'm going to do something. You know, like somebody saying, I'm a nice person. They never do anything nice, but because they say they're a nice person, that's enough gratification for them to believe that they are indeed nice. And that's not the case. So don't say what you're going to do for the year, okay? Because it might gratify you and two people secretly plotting on your downfall. Just make sure whatever you do say, you follow through with it. I'm rooting for every single one of you. I love the positivity. I love the energy. My pledge for the new year, man, I got a nice list. You know, I was cracking a few jokes with some of my homeboys, man, but I'm dead serious. Yeah, and I'm going to share with you guys at least this aspect of it. I'm not going to share everything else. But in the grand scheme of things, if I don't complete at least 80%, okay, 80%, so 4 out of 5, I have about 20 things that I want to get done. So that puts me around 16, okay? If I don't hit at least 80% of the things I want to get done in 2019, in 2020, I'm converting to a bad IG bitch. Just letting it be known. I'm putting it on record. Y'all heard it first. Say what you want. Joke around what you want. I'm being dead ass because that's the only way I'm going to push myself to do things that I want to do. I don't necessarily want to do it, but now some of you are saying, what do you mean bad IG? Look, man, you heard. I said what I said. I'm not going any further. That's what I mean, man. But that's the motivation I have. That's how serious I am about myself. That's how determined I am to get my things done. I got 20 listed. I'm staring at them right now. As a matter of fact, they are the background on my screen. They are the background on my PC wallpaper. So every time I go on this PC, I'm looking at my 20 goals, and hopefully I can start checking some of these things off. Man, I'm doing it this year. That's my pledge, but that's my sort of resolution. Another thing that I need to do, too, I actually feel comfortable sharing this one. I definitely need to find a way to spend more time with the family, man. And you know, I don't like beating a dead horse down. I don't want to, you know, always sound like I'm talking about the same things on my show, but I got to figure out a way to spend more time with the family, man, and stop drowning myself in this isolation and this introvertness to get my stuff done. Cause the worst part about it is, the bad part about it is, even if I did get where I wanted to get, I don't want to get there alone. You know what I mean? Sometimes I often think about what would it be like if I made it where I wanted to get to, but I'm there alone. I'm alone now. How bad could it be? Well, it's not that bad because I don't have anything to show for it. As a matter of fact, I enjoy it because I have no one. I have nothing to give anyways. But if I did have something to give, I don't want to be alone and not have anybody to give anything. So I need to find a way to give to my family, my immediate family, my friends. I need to find a way to be more interactive with them. And it's something that I struggle with. I don't know where it necessarily stems from, but I need to make sure I take care of that. So that's the new me that I'm training for this year. I have to do it anyways because it's a part of one of my goals. I need to be more interactive anyways. It's something that's actually aligned, for lack of better words. It's not exactly what it says, but I got to be. So that's my goal for the year. That's my resolution. I'm following through with it. I want you guys to follow through with your resolutions as well as your ideas and continue being who I want you to be. But now we're getting back to the point, the making of a man, right? I didn't finish part two. I didn't do it on purpose. I'm doing it now. All right, so strap up your boots, get ready to listen. You're gonna be on for a wild ride, okay? Because I'm gonna hit you guys with some stern knowledge right now, okay? I should be charging people for this is gonna be a TED talk. You feel me? I should be charging people for this, but I'm gonna share with you guys because I love all of you guys. And remember, I'm still learning. I want you guys to learn with me. All right, but as a good guy said, or it's actually a bad guy. If you're really good at something, you don't do it for free. That's going to be the case real soon, man. I'm going to start getting paid for this joint, man. But anywho, the making of a man. So if you remember from the last episode, the making of a man, it was do whatever you have to do by any means. It doesn't matter. Get it done. Now we talked about the Cowboys. I got to talk about the Colts. There's a lot of things I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to focus too heavy on sports. There are two figures, however, that I want to talk about in the sports. That sort of adds to this point that I made last week. That's going to add into what I'm saying here today. So Antonio Brown, and if you haven't heard about him, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. He was arguably one of the best. He's probably top three right now, somewhere in the midst between Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. Okay, and he is very, very, very upset. He wants a trade from the Steelers. Now, if you don't know football, if you don't know sports, this is not going to make any sense to you. His situation might not make any sense, so I'm going to clear it up, okay? But the Steelers did not make the playoffs, so he wants to leave. Now, if you guys remember from my earlier podcast where I talked about Le'Veon Bell being on the Steelers, well, Le'Veon Bell is arguably one of the best running backs in the game. He might be number one, number two, okay? And so to give you a little synopsis of what happened, before the season started, Le'Veon Bell said, "I'm not playing unless you guys pay me." This is the Steelers we're talking about. "I'm not paying unless you play me. I'm not paying and playing unless you pay me." Good, my God. Okay. And so the Steelers said, "Okay, we're not going to pay you." And Le'Veon Bell walked away from what was equivalent to about $17 million, I believe. Okay, 13 to 17 million, somewhere between there. He did not play this entire year. Okay. Now, it wasn't an issue at first because the Steelers were sort of winning. They were sort of winning, but they ended up not making the playoffs. And now Antonio Brown, their best wide receiver, once out, okay? So the best running back did not play because of money issues, and now the best wide receiver wants to be traded, not because of money issues, but because of a winning issue, which ties in what I'm going to talk about here today, okay? And so if you're Antonio Brown, you're one of the best wide receivers in the game. Your team, just the year before, won 12, 13 games, I believe. You guys were in the playoff hunt. You guys were a couple games away from the Super Bowl, and now you're in a season where you don't even make the playoffs, okay? And so if you're Antonio Brown, you're upset. A lot of people say he's childish for what he did. He threw a football at his teammate. I don't necessarily condone of that, but I'm going to explain his rationale, his mindset, okay? He's saying, "Look, man, I pour my heart and soul into this. Every year, the money is great. I love the money. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to play the sport that I love, if I'm going to wake up every morning, I want to achieve something. I want to accomplish. And I don't like missing the playoffs. That doesn't sit well with me. I don't bust my ass off to not make the playoffs. Especially not because it's not my fault. It is your guys' fault for doing dumb things you shouldn't have done. Like not pay the best running back in the league. I know that's a start." And you could say, "Well, if they made the playoffs without him, he wouldn't be having those arguments." No, if they didn't even win the Super Bowl, he was still going to have those arguments. I don't want to work hard for someone else not to pick up their slack. Okay. So that's the situation with Antonio Brown. He wants to be traded. He wants out of the Steelers. And for good reason. You're one of the best wide receivers. You expect to be on a winning team, especially a team that just a year before was a winning team. There was no reason for them to miss the playoffs. Now, granted, he still had a great season. His team still had a great season. But what if? That's always the question now. What if? What if we would have had Le'Veon Bell? How much better we would have been, you know, in this situation? Okay? Think about that. Think about that when in your daily life as well, what if your situations could have been if you had different people around you, okay? Hopefully you guys see where I'm going with today's podcast, okay? But literally. So now he wants out. People are mad at him. People are saying he's a joke, but he's not. He's right. He's 100% right. I agree with him. If I was in the situation, I would do the same thing. Look, I came out here. I did my part. Y'all need to do y'all part, okay? I want to be surrounded with winners. As a matter of fact, I'm going to add another person into this conversation. This is going to be, we're switching to sports, not to basketball. Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid came out there, took shots at his teammate, Ben Simmons. Okay? Apparently, he told Ben Simmons, or he told the coach, he told somebody, I didn't even touch the ball in the last effing quarter, and we still lost. What now? Okay? Now, a lot of people didn't know what that meant, but then him and Ben Simmons got into it in the locker room, supposedly, or it's clear to be seen that Joel Embiid is referring to Ben Simmons' lack of shooting. Ben Simmons is supposed to be one of the best PGs in the game. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. He's not. He's not one of the best PGs in the game. I said this 2 years ago. The man has no jump shot. The man is really, he's a liability on the court. I could go out there and do what he do if I had the height. People say, oh, well, it comes with time. Bro, you can't be shooting 60-50-something% from the free throw line and less than 30% from the field and think you're going to make an impact. Now you impeding my game. And what I mean by that, what Joel Embiid means by that is Ben Simmons is so bad at shooting that the defense don't even guard him. They double team Joel Embiid in the post. Joel Embiid can't eat the way he wants to eat. You're impeding me now. So you need to fix your part. I hold my weight. You hold your weight. Okay? This is serious now. If you do your part in something, yes, it's a team sport. Yes, when the team is down, the team is down. But man, when you bust your all and you don't see somebody else busting their all, it hurts you. It pains you, especially when you have a desire to win. Some guys in the NBA just want to collect a check. Some guys in the NFL just want to collect a check. Some guys don't care about winning. But when you care about winning, and that's your purpose, that's your goal, that's what you want to obtain, then it frustrates you. So I feel for Antonio Brown, and I feel for Joel Embiid. I'm also going to bring up LeBron James here. LeBron James came out and said he's the GOAT. Greatest of all time. Now all the sports analysts are telling him to humble himself. When Joel Embiid said he was the best center, nobody said that. I mean, there's all these different topics, and I understand why it's a different league because it's LeBron James, and he is arguably one of the best of all time. But to go out and call yourself the GOAT, a lot of people have an issue with it. And let me tell you, I don't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it. Let me tell you something. Yeah, you could say Michael Jordan was undefeated and all these other players, but let's be real. And I hope my friends that listen to this podcast listen to this part here very, very well. Okay, the competition has changed. Okay, the competition has changed. When you talk about the top 15 players, top 20 players in the NBA, talk about the best players in the NBA, you know who they're bringing up? They're bringing up modern guys. They're not bringing up Bill Russells and all those sort of guys from back then. They're bringing up modern guys. I think if you talk about any other sport, I think basketball is the only sport that evolved at this level. We talk about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks still have insane records. You want to talk about golf. Golf record. Golf from way back when still hold these insane records. Soccer, a little bit different. But if we talk about any other sport, basketball is like the only sport where it has evolved so much that these new generation players would kill the old generation players. They would kill them. It wouldn't even be competition. Are you kidding me? I think boxing's another sport. But look at basketball. Could you imagine guys like Jerry West going against a guy like Russell Westbrook? Come on now. We got to cut the foolishness, man. This all-time 10 great top 10 list with Magic Johnson and stuff, I have to reevaluate this list. Because I think if Magic Johnson played in today's era, he'd be another Ben Simmons. And I say that wholeheartedly. Okay? But aside from all that, I'm not going to get into sports. LeBron James came out and said he is the GOAT. He feels that he's the GOAT. And people were saying, well, a couple years ago, you were just saying you were chasing Michael Jordan's ghost and this and that. And I understand where LeBron's coming from. Yeah, he might be 3-6 in the finals, but he played much stiffer competition. He's saying, look, I did my part. I need somebody else to do their part. I know I'm the GOAT. I know I'm the GOAT. And you know why he's saying that? Let me tell you why he's saying that. It's a slight shade at his old team, and nobody's picking it up. He's saying that because the Cavaliers won't even sniff the playoffs this year. They might be the worst team in the East. Yet the Lakers are going to be up there in the running for top 3 in the West. when last year the Lakers didn't even make the playoffs. And then you think about a guy like Michael Jordan, he came and joined the Wizards, they didn't even make the playoffs. So what LeBron is slightly saying that nobody's picking up on, LeBron is saying, look, I know I'm great because everywhere I go, greatness happens. It's up for the other guys to pick up their slack. And I agree with that 100%, but nobody's picking that up. Nobody's seeing that. Everybody's hearing the words, but nobody's understanding the full situation. Okay? So I don't disagree with LeBron James, but if you add up all these guys here together, Antonio Brown, Joel Embiid, and LeBron James, all of these men, they want to win. They're winners. They have a winning mentality, and they don't like losing, especially when it's somebody else's fault. And the reason why they don't have any issue calling themselves the best at what they do is because if they fail, they take responsibility. Hey, I messed up. I did wrong. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Joel Embiid said it. He wasn't up to par. Now he's doing what he's supposed to do. Antonio Brown was missing practice of certain things, but he shows up on the field and does what he needs to do. Same, likewise with LeBron James. He does what he needs to do. Right? Going back to making of a man, you do what you have to do by any purpose. These guys live and breathe their jobs. But the issue now with LeBron James and Antonio Brown and Joel Embiid is that, hey, I'm living up to my part. I do what I have to do. Why can't other people do what they have to do? And so what they're saying is, like what this book that I was reading is, I finished reading the Man Guide book that I was referring to you guys about a week ago. So I finished reading it. And what he's referring to is, I want to be surrounded with winners. I want to be surrounded with success. And I want to do it the right way. That's what these men are saying. I want to be surrounded with winners. I want to be a winner. I don't want to lose. I work too hard to lose. If I lose and it's on me, guess what I'm doing in the offseason? I'm working on whatever the hell I was doing that was making us lose. But if we lose and it's because y'all not holding your own, y'all making me mad. Wow. Powerful. Powerful. Some people could call it scapegoating, throwing people under the bus. No. We coming into 2019 with a new energy. Because let me tell you something. Had they done something wrong, they're crucified in the media. The media is going to be down them. Like they're trying to do with Antonio Brown right now. You're the reason why the Steelers are losing. You're the one throwing tantrums at your teammates. No. I still had a great season. What are you doing? LeBron James, same thing. I am the GOAT. Where are the Cavaliers? What are they doing? What are the Lakers doing? I am the GOAT. Don't talk to me. Joel Embiid, same thing. I told you, give me the ball. You want the ball. Matter of fact, I can't even get the ball because they don't even want to guard you. What are you doing? When I touch the ball, magic. I'm the GOAT. I'm the best center in the league. Powerful. That's powerful right there. That's a mindset. That's a winning mindset. Okay? But most importantly, what these guys are trying to say is, look, I want to win. I want to be successful in whatever I am doing. And the problem is, and you see it in everyday life, if people don't want success as much as you do, you are not going to win, especially if that's who you are associated with. Think about it. These men are associated by these men without choice. They have to make it work. And when they can't make it work, you end up with these sort of results. There are people in your lives right now that you choose to have in your life that will never make you successful. Welcome to the Making of a Man Part 2. First part was you have to do whatever you have to do by any means. Second part is you have to surround yourself with success. You must surround yourself with success. All Antonio Brown is saying is, had I had my homeboy Le'Veon Bell, we probably would have been in the playoffs. We would have been eaten. All Joel Embiid is saying is, Ben Simmons, if you get a jump shot, they're going to respect you. They're going to respect us. We're going to be eaten. All LeBron James is saying is, the Cavaliers wouldn't be 3-15, whatever the hell record they got right now, had they stepped their weight up. We would have beat the Warriors in the finals. What I'm saying is if you're not on my wavelength for 2019 and you're going against me and you're clouding my thoughts, my vision, my energy, I'm not going to be successful. So guess what you got to do? You got to pull an Antonio Brown. You got to pull a Joel Embiid. You got to pull a LeBron James. I want out. I want to get traded. Matter of fact, I don't even want to get traded. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to let it be known that it's your fault that we're not successful. And you know what? And none of those work, I'm going to just say I'm the greatest because I know I am. I've seen it. But be careful with that last part. You better really be the best before you should go out and start crowning yourself the best. I will say that. But seriously, surround yourself with successful people. Okay? Surround yourself with successful people. You know, there is a quote. That I'm going to go ahead and pull up for you guys right now. And I love this quote. It's beautiful. The quote says, you know, there are three types of people in this world. There are people out there that make it happen. There are people out there that watch it happen. And there are people out there that don't even know what happened. How the heck did that even go down? Three types of people in this world. Which one are you going to be? You're going to be a leader? You're going to be a follower? Or you're just going to be sitting with your head in the sand? Pick one. Isn't it funny to think that majority of the things that are done today in all aspects of life, I don't know why society has built its way the way that it is. I don't know why society has chosen this sort of formula. Maybe we're biologically engineered to be this way. But isn't it crazy how a majority of things in life are controlled by a few? Whether you talk about money, property, technology, intelligence, doctors, lawyers, best sports players, most of the best things in the world are ran by a few. It don't take too many people to envision something. It takes a lot of people to work on it. It takes a lot of people to, you know, a general contractor, an architect, the guy that makes the blueprint, you know, the guy that does the engineering behind it. It don't take too many of them. You only need one or two. It's going to take a couple hundred, a couple thousand to get those buildings done, to get those technologies done, these cell phones built. But the guys that mastermind, it don't take too many of them. And isn't it funny? In a little way sad. Isn't it funny or sad how these people, once they reach a certain level, they start associating with people at a certain level. I understand it. My man guy explained it very well to me, and I'm explaining it to you. You have to surround yourself with success to be successful. And if that means letting go of certain people in your lives, that means changing certain things that you do, you must do it if you want to be successful. That's why when rich people get rich, they hang out with other rich people to keep being successful. That's why other smart people who build computers hang out with other people that build computers, because they want to be successful. If you want to do anything in any category, you must be around people who think like you, who act like you, who want what you want. That's huge. That's powerful. In my case, I got to start putting energy into people that do what I want to do. Orion, what do you want to do? I want to do content creation. Whether you want to call it journalism, whether you want to call it whatever the hell you want to call it, I want to be in content creation. I want to be in some sort of publishing, some sort of marketing. Yeah, it doesn't even matter what avenue you want to take, whether it's design, whether it's computers, whatever. The issue that I have is I don't hang out with people that know how to do any of it. Simply put. If I ask four of my friends, yo, edit a video for me, not one know how to do it. If I ask them, bro, copyright my podcast, they don't know how to do it. If I ask any one of them, create a logo, create a team, assist, they don't know how to do it. They're my boys, though, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it, man. That's a problem for me and what I want. My goal is on the line with them. Whose fault is that? It's mine. It's my fault. Because I'm not associated with people that I need to be hanging out with content creators, with people that understand how to edit videos. You know what I mean? How much easier would it be if I knew somebody? I'll give you guys an example. All I was trying to do a couple days ago was edit a logo to fit on YouTube properly. Okay, so I'm in the Photoshop. I'm trying to edit, but there's a certain filter I'm trying to obtain, I should say. Now, you would think that I would know how to do it, but I don't. You would think that I could pay somebody to do it. I can't. I'm broke. So what do I got to do? I got to go on YouTube to try to find out how to get this filter that I want applied to my logo. So I do what every other person does. I go on to Google. I search Google. Doesn't work. Keeps putting me to ads and articles that I don't want to see. So I decide the next best avenue. The golden grail of modern era. YouTube. There's a YouTube video for everything. You want to sell your soul, there's a YouTube video. You want to get a fake booty Botox, there's a video. You want to get Kylie Jenner lips, there's a video. You want to learn to cook crack, there is a video. I promise you guys, I'm not saying to go on to do it. I'm just saying there is a video for everything on YouTube. You want to learn how to parent. Parenting guides, there's videos on YouTube. But anyways, I went on to YouTube looking how to do this filter. And I watched the first couple of videos. And let me tell you something with these YouTube videos, man. These guys. I don't give a damn about your background. All right. 7-minute videos. Somewhere in the 7 minutes is jumbled nonsense of how to get this filter done. I'm watching videos. Some dude said, hey, my name is da 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 da. How you guys? Welcome to my show today. Have you guys ever wanted to learn how to do this filter? Yes. Have you guys ever ran into this issue and you don't know how to do it? Yes. Well, I'm going to show you guys how to do it here today. But before you do it, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, and follow the video. I appreciate it, guys. All right. So what you're going to do to get this filter, first of all, you need to find a photo that you really like. And obviously, I have a photo that I really like because I'm looking to do the filter. But anyways, first, find a photo that you really like. And then once you find this photo, you're going to start trying to think of the idea of what you wanted to do, you know. Well, I'm just trying to put a filter. I'm trying to put like a blur filter on it. Hello. But anyways, think of idealize what you're trying to accomplish here and start drawing or start playing with it. Adjust the colors and adjust the contrast. He's doing all this other shit. And anyway, somewhere like 5 minutes into the clip, I said, fuck it. Backed out of the page. Was going to find another video. Or I did find another video. Same thing, like a 5-minute video. I'm like, what is this? I go to somebody else's video. It's like a 13-minute video. I'm like, this has got to be absurd. I just want to learn how to put the filter on. Okay. So then I go down a couple more videos, 2 minutes. I said, this has to be the video. I get in the video. The guy was quick. Yo, what's up, you guys? Hey, I'm going to show you guys how to do this filter here today. Go ahead and open your Photoshop. We're going to go to this menu here, drop down this filter. Now, if you go here, this is the way most people normally go here. It's not going to work like this. What you need to do is cry on a layer mask first and then put on a filter like this. And there you guys go. Hope you enjoyed the video. Have a great day. Boom. It was done. It was the quickest minute. I don't think it was 2 minutes. It was like a minute. And I'm thinking to myself, God damn, why couldn't other people do this? So I went back to that first video to see if the guy ever explained it the way he did. And he did. He did it at the last 40 seconds of the video. Now, you could call it clickbait. I guess people got to watch the video. That's how he makes his ad revenue or whatnot. That's how you get people to watch your stuff. But geez Louise, man. But I say all that to say, man, look, if I knew somebody that knew any hints of photo editing or video editing, I wouldn't have had to waste an hour and a half trying to do what essentially took 10 seconds. I wouldn't have had to do all of that. I would literally just went to ask my homeboys, yo, can y'all show me how to do this? And we would have done it. It would have been done. Literally. I don't have that. That's time wasted. That's energy spent. When if I hung out with a certain crowd of people that knew what they were doing, it'd be a lot easier. Again, not knocking my boys for anything at all. They're my boys, but I'm just saying, it's surround yourself with successful people. Surround yourself with the people that align with what you want. So guess what I've been doing? I've been on forums. I've been on Reddit. I've been on YouTube. I've been finding other streamers, YouTubers. Hey, man, let's create a little group. Let's get a little clan going, man. Because when I eat, you eat. They hit me up. Yo, they got a question about the Discord. I know about the Discord. I play around with that. I can tell you how to do it. Boom, boom, boom. It's done. Now I go back. Hey, man, how did you... for instance, I was editing videos a couple days ago. So I went ahead and I messaged one of them. I said, hey, man, quick question. How did you get that Minecraft? Because I'm putting Minecraft videos. I'm pretty late to it. But how did you get that Minecraft, you know, to get the little, like, high-res effect? Oh, this is it. Done. Couldn't believe it, man. Don't have to go on Google. Don't have to go on YouTube. Don't have to do any of that. How much easier it is when I surround myself with that sort of people who align with what I align with. You know what I mean? So the point I'm making here is surround yourself with success. Surround your people who view what you view, who do what you want to do. You know? Some of my homeboys, they're obsessed with buying shoes. Every time a new pair of Jordans come out, they're like, man, I'm waiting in line to get it. To me, I don't understand it. It's just shoes. It's just shoes, right? I can't understand it. I don't know if I'd ever spend $200 on a pair of Jordans. I'd be a fool. I don't want that. What's that going to do for me? But that's what they align with. And that's okay. That's their thing. I got another group of homeboys out here that every time they get a check, they want to hit up the strip club. As many times as I tell them no, you would think that they understand I'm not going to the strip club. They hit me up every single time they get paid. Ryan, man, let's go to the strip club, dog. I was just there last week, man. I met me a bad one, man. Dog, she was from Idaho. She came to Vegas because she wanted a better life. I'm going to give her a better life, all right? Oh, for real, man? How much money you gave her? Man, you know, man. I gave her like $200, $300, man, for a few laughs. But that's not the point, though, man. She was bad. Okay. Okay, my man. That's cool. That's your energy. That's what you want. That's your purpose. That's your drive. I don't choose to surround myself with that. I got another homeboy. I'm definitely not saying no names. This man, every time a new drug come out, he on it. Perks, Zans, whatever. That's his purpose. I don't understand it. I don't engage in that shit. But he enjoys it. That's his thing. That's what he wants. But I can guarantee you this. He's hanging out with other people that think like him. I know he does for a fact, just like the strip club. My boy don't go to the strip club alone. He go with 3-4 other homeboys. That's their purpose. That's their drive. That's their group think. And if that's what you want your group think to be, that's fine. These guys literally get to jobs where they can make a good amount of money just so they can blow it at the strip club. I got homeboys who literally, they'll live and die for these new releases. The cream colored, royal blue colored, red blue color, purple color, off white, all white, brick white, yellow, orange white. I'm gonna get them Jordans, all colors. That's what they live for. But that's not what I'm living for. I gotta be more assertive and find groupthink with people that think like I do. I want to content create. And I do content creation not because, I mean, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's an avenue that I like, but I also do it because I want to make a career out of it. It's funny how I've learned more out of college than I learned in college. College didn't teach me jack diddly squat. It didn't teach me about true friends. It didn't teach me about finances. It didn't teach me about content creation. It didn't teach me about business, even though I went to business class. I didn't learn any of that. One important thing that I picked out of college is that two things that I should have done that I did not do properly in college. I should have networked and I should have kissed more ass. Because I used to piss some of my professors off. Some of these professors are sitting out here regurgitating information from a book that doesn't even make sense. It's incorrect. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Thought about it, man. I remember I had a business teacher that never ran a business. How are you teaching business then? You're just an academic. You're just a professional student who's teaching it. I don't want to hear from you. I didn't say that out loud to the teacher, but that was my mindset. You've never ran a business. How can you coach? That's like, it's like these basketball videos of these guys that are supposedly training kids how to play basketball, and they've never played a lick of basketball a day in their lives. Now, don't get me wrong. There are guys out there that coach basketball very well. Drew Hanlon and a couple others. I don't remember their names. But these guys actually played basketball to some degree. I got guys on YouTube talking about this is how you dribble better, doing moves. And part of me thinks it's trolling. I think a lot of them, they just troll because they get some views. But how are you going to teach something you never played? You know what I mean? How are you going to tell me what to do if you've never done it? So it goes back to my point. And just like my book, my man guidebook, point was, surround yourself with success. That is the easiest and the fastest way to get to what you want, to how you want, whenever you want it. It's to surround yourself with people that have either done what you want to do or are on path to doing what you want to do. Simply put, all Antonio Brown, all LeBron James, all Joel Embiid want to do is be successful. And they need to surround themselves with people that want to be successful. That's why Jimmy Butler left the Minnesota Timberwolves. He wants to win. And I don't blame him. I don't necessarily think he's as good as he thinks he is, but he wants to win. Okay? This is the point that I'm making. Look, we spend too much time coddling to others, doing what others want, and not doing what we need to get done. You need to get done what needs to get done, and, okay, you need to get done what needs to get done, and you have to be willing to surround yourself with people with success. That means cutting people off that you might necessarily need to cut off. That means doing things that you might not necessarily need to do. But I'll tell you guys, you know, for instance, there was one video I saw on YouTube. I was reading videos, how to be more of a clickbaiter, right? The titles, how to be more of a clickbaiter. And what was interesting was I found this one guy, a young kid, about 21, I guess. He's younger than me, so I got to call him a kid. But I went to watching the rest of his videos because it was a good clickbait video. And he had another video. He talked about, you know, a level of support that he had that allowed him to do what he's doing. You know, I mean, he's fortunate that a lot of other people that don't have the sort of fortune that he has. He doesn't have to worry about paying bills. He doesn't have to worry about anything. He literally gets to just work on videos all the time. But what made it easier for him to work on videos was finding a couple of friends that he wouldn't. I mean, he used to hate them. He used to think they were weird, he said. But he started hanging out with them and realizing he saved himself so much time hanging out with them and editing videos because it was so much quicker. When it was time to edit videos, there was no delay. Right? Oh, let's go edit. Let's go record these videos. Let's go edit. They all had ideas and they all got it done and they all coincided with each other. You know what I mean? It was quick. For instance, like a stream. And I love, you know, one of my homeboys was like, why do you love streaming with little kids, man, when you play Fortnite? You know, for one, I'll give you a few reasons why I like streaming with kids when I play Fortnite. And if you guys ever watch my stream, you know I stream a lot with the kids. I stream with them because one, there's no time wasted. Sometimes they be waiting on me and I feel bad. Right, that's the first thing. Cause I'm gonna get back to that point in a second. The second reason why I like doing it is, I got better words. I'm kind of a leader, right? If I ask them to do something, they're gonna do it, and we've been winning a lot like that, okay? And if they ask something to do, I'm gonna listen. But what I like about it for the most part is that, you know, I'm the point of reference. Yeah, I think we should do this. I think we should do this. Hey, Ron, what do you think? I like this idea. Boom, we get it done. Like there's no confusion. It's I'm the clear leader. You know what I mean? I'm the leader of these kids. I'm the bully. I'm just playing. But the third reason why I like playing with the kids, aside from the first two, is that they, in a way, and it's corny, but I enjoy it. They look up to me. They are inspired by what I'm doing, and they want to help as much as they can. And as corny as that sounds, it revitalizes me, it energizes me. When I play with them, I stream a lot longer when I play with them than if I stream with my homeboys. I play games a lot longer. We joke a lot longer. We talk a lot longer because it's revitalizing. Where if I play with my homeboys and I say, yo, let's get on a game, first of all, nobody wants to play anything. I can't start my stream until I start in a game. I don't want to be in a party chatting for 30 minutes. That's usually what happens. We sit in a party chatting for 30 minutes. Nothing gets done. You know what I mean? Except I got a couple homeboys. You know what I mean? If I tell him to hop on Smash, he gonna hop on. If I tell him to hop on MLB, he'll hop on PUBG. Like he on it. There's no and if or buts. You know what I mean? I got another homeboy too, but he gets on way too late. He gets on way at night, 1 a.m. or so. But if I say, yo, get on 2K or get on Last of Us or whatever, he gonna get on it. There's no question. So I can stream during those times. Okay? So it's a time issue. Because I'll be waiting 20, 30 minutes to get a game and nobody wants to play anything. That hurts my streaming. That burns me because I'm trying to do is stream and nobody wants to stream or nobody wants to play me to stream. And it's more fun to play against your homeboys. I could play ranked. There's certain games that I play ranked, but a lot of the games, it's much more fun when you're playing your homeboys and you got commentary going. You know what I mean? Second thing is there's no leader. Even if we do play a game as a team, you know, I got one homeboy. He's really good. I've known him for a long time. As a matter of fact, I met him through a friend. We were playing Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, and he's really good. But what I like about him is, for the most part, he don't care. He just wants to play. He'll be like, he's like the muscle of the group. If I say go here, he's going to do it. If he says something, I'm going to do it as well. It's respected. But for a lot of the other games, a lot of the other things that we do, the streams that I do, it's always a combativeness of who's the leader. We should do this. Nah, I'm not going to do it because I want to do this. You know what I mean? There's too many button heads. I can't stream because of that either. Because then we die and then we start artists fighting, okay, et cetera. And then three, for the most part, I mean, I would honestly say that I feel a lot more love now than I did in the past, but I didn't feel a lot of love from what I was doing, podcasting or streaming or et cetera. I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. You know what I mean? Whereas the little kids, they're like always asking, when are you going to stream again? When are you going to put your podcast up? When are you going to do it? And I'm starting to get that now, but in the past, it was a joke. Why are you making a podcast? You know that's not going to work. Bro, no, nobody even comes into your streams. But I'm asking you to come to my stream. You know what I mean? So it's that sort of energy. That's why I like playing with the kids. And on a small scale, that's kind of what the book is talking about. That's what I'm sharing with you guys here today. Surround yourself with success. Surround yourself with people that buy into what you want to buy into. It makes it a lot easier for you. It's going to be much more successful. You're going to have much more success. You're going to start networking with people. I'm telling you guys, man, these are simple lessons that we know. We should already know. And if you don't know, now you know. But most of us know. We just don't imply it. We just don't activate it or act on it or exhibit it. We don't. We know these things. You know that if you hang out with bad company, you're going to end up doing bad stuff. You know if you hang out with good people, you're going to... But we just don't activate it enough. We don't. So the whole point of the message here today is, you guys, surround yourself with success. Find people who buy into what you want to buy into and employ it. Explore it. Do it. Do it by any means. Do not worry about the consequence. You sit there, you overthink something, you're never going to do it. Do not think about the consequence. Get done what needs to get done by any means necessary. And one of the ways to do that is surround yourself with successful people. That is part two of making of a man. If you want to become a man in any category, this is the way that you do it. What's your definition of a man? It's up to you. That's your definition. I can't tell you what your definition is. Everybody has a different motif in life. Everybody has a different lens that they see through. I can't see what you see through. I didn't experience what you experienced. You can teach me. You can try to tell me. And I can try to understand it. But I can never fully see what you see. So whatever your definition is of a man is, that is it to you. Because to some people, I might not be a man. To some people, I might not be man enough. For some people, I'm too manly. For some people, it's whatever. I know what I think is a man. I don't think I've achieved where I needed to achieve yet, but I'm going to get there. But my definition for a man is going to be much different than your definition of a man. And again, this goes out to the women too. Women, surround yourself with success. And whatever your definition of a woman is up to you. And whatever somebody else thinks, that's up to them. We can never fully see through each other's lens. That's why we have rules and guidelines and things like that to abide by. But for the most part, only you know what your true definition is. Now, your definition cannot impede somebody else's definition. You cannot be a man by holding out another group of people. That doesn't make you a man. Okay? You are who you are when what you do does not affect anybody else. Okay? You do what you got to do. You do it by any means necessary, any consequences. But for the most part, it should not affect anybody else. At least not by their will. Okay? I got a homeboy. He's gone now. He's across the state. Last time I talked to him, he said, "Bro, don't hit me up on this number. It's a hotline." I mean, I guess he was being watched. I don't know what the issue was. I haven't talked to him since he moved. Cool story. But I bring him up to say, you know, a lot of people talk about selling marijuana, selling drugs, and et cetera, et cetera. It's bad, and those people should be demonized, and they should go to jail. Look, man, these people want to buy this stuff. As a matter of fact, it's legal now to buy marijuana. To think that this man could have faced many of years in jail selling that stuff that's now legally available because the government can tax it. It's crazy. But in a situation like that, it's a little different because people want to get that stuff. He's not forcing it upon them. He's not impeding their willingness. They want that stuff. So therefore, I don't see an issue with it. So as long as what you do, whatever, hey, you face the consequence. Whatever, don't worry about the consequence. Do what you have to do to get done what needs to get done. Okay? As long as it doesn't affect other people. And if you surround yourself with people that think like yourselves, that want what you want, it would be a lot easier. Why do you think these cartels last forever? Why do you think El Chapo was able to be around as long as he was around? He had people, I mean, in some cases, he forced his way upon people. But most people that were on his gang accepted his leadership and believed in him. And they worked with it. And those people live great. I think Trump's and all, I mean, I'm not even going to go there. It's a new year. We're not going to even start that energy. But surround yourself with success. Okay, surround yourself with success. I hope you all have a great new year. Hope you guys all have a plan, a resolution, a pledge that you're going to have for the year. I want you all to get done what needs to get done. All right, I love you all. I appreciate you guys for stopping back. We're going to get back to the normal schedule. I will see you guys on Friday. And until then, y'all stay blessed, all right?